We gather this morning to claim again the light of truth and the light of love and the light of justice, to rekindle the spark of the divine that burns in each of us, and to let that light shine forth to a world where there is too much darkness. This morning our service centers around the Hindu holiday of Diwali, which is indeed the Indian festival of lights. Our intern minister, Eileen, has a personal connection to India and to the Hindu and Sikh religious traditions. So today is a special opportunity to explore together how these Indian holidays connect to our Unitarian Universalist faith. Eileen and our wonderful guest musicians will also share devotional music from the Sikh tradition, a northern Indian religion. The music is Sikh sacred scripture, sung in the Punjabi language in the classical style that's called rag. And we begin our service as we do each week by the lighting of the chalice. Meg, would you please come forward to light it? Meg Costello will light our chalice. The lighting of lamps and candles is a sacred ritual in many traditions. In our own traditions, we have few religious symbols, but the principal one being a flaming chalice. We begin our service by lighting our chalice.
Good morning. Our first musical selection today is a hymn, or as we call in the Sikh tradition, a shabad. And the refrain line is "As pyasi pirke tai jon chatrik bundere," which means, "O God, I long to be united with you, as the rainbird longs for the raindrop."
Asapiasi pirke tai, asapiasi pirke tai, jo chatrik bundere. Jon chatrik bundere, jon chatrik bundere, asapi asi pirke tai, asapi asi pirke. Etan man tera sab gun tere, etan man tera sab gun tere, khaniye vanja darshan tere, khaniye vanja darshan tere, khaniye vanja darshan tere, asapi asi pirke tai, asapi asi pirke tai, jo chatreke bundere. दर्शन तेरे सुन प्रभ मेरे दर्शन तेरे सुन प्रभ मेरे निमक दृष्ट ते दृष्ट तेक जीवा अमृत नाम सुनी जय तेरा अमृत नाम सुनी जय तेरा अमृत नाम सुनी जय अमृत नाम सुनी जय अमृत नाम सुनी जय कृपा करे तापीवा कृपा करे तापीवा कृपा करे तापी आस पे आसी तीर के ताई जो चात्रक बूंदे जो चात्रक बूंदे रे जो चात्रक बूंदे रे आस पे आसी तीर के ताई आस पे आसी तीर के आस पे आसी पीर के ताई आस पे आसी पीर के ताई जियो चात्रिक बूंदे चात्रिक बूंदे रे जो चात्रिक बूंदे रे आ
Nick is going to do a great service for me and hold my book. So good morning. Again, my name is Eileen Gillespie, and this morning we are learning about the Hindu holiday of Diwali. So I have a wonderful book. If there's anyone who wants to be able to see the pictures better, I invite you forward. You're welcome to come sit up in the front pews or here on the floor or just look from wherever you're sitting now. Yeah, you can come down. You're good up there. Okay. So this book is called Amma, Tell Me About Diwali, and Amma means mother. So this is our story. It was as if the stars themselves came down to earth that night. The entire city was lit up with thousands and thousands of lights. It was Diwali, the festival of lights, that Klaka is a name of a boy, that Klaka had celebrated today. Oh, how much fun it had been, a most wonderful, beautiful day. He'd woken up full of excitement and worn new clothes with joy. Amma and Daddy had spoiled Klaka so, giving many gifts to their little boy. That evening, he and his brother Kiki had lit earthen oil lamps called deepas and eaten sweets with Arjun and Devika and all of their friends. Together, they offered their prayers for good fortune, prosperity, and health, to Ganesha, the god of new beginnings, and to Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth. Ganesha has an elephant's head, and on his feet, his pet mouse rests. He brings good luck, clears obstacles, and is worshipped before any quest. And Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth, sits on a big lotus flower, and she has four hands to bless us with wealth, fortune, and power. Then it was time for firecrackers, sparklers making circles of light, fireworks spinning wildly and rockets flying high, coloring the sky golden. What a sight. Finally, it was time to sleep, but Klaka still chattered happily. As his mother tucked him into bed, he said, "Amma, tell me about Diwali." Amma said, "Diwali means a row of lights, just like the lamps we light tonight. It's celebrated in autumn on Amavasya today, which is the month's darkest night. Diwali is also very special as it starts off the new year. This is the time of the new year in India. Ours comes a little bit later. It starts off the new year, a time for new beginnings, good luck, and cheer. But why do we light deepas on Diwali?" curious Klaka asked his mother. She smiled and told her little boy to remember the great prince Rama. So this is a story about the life of a god named Rama. And Rama was the prince of Ayodhya, a place. He was the son of King Dasaratha the Great. He was brave and kind and loved by all. And as the oldest son, he was next in line to be head of the state. But Kayaki, Rama's wicked stepmother, wanted her own son to be king instead. She threw a big tantrum and made Dasaratha banish Rama for 14 years instead. So without a fuss, Rama left for the forest, leaving his beloved city of Ayodhya behind. And he left with his wife, the lovely Sita, and his brother Lakshman by his side. But more trouble lay ahead for them. For Ravana, the demon king with 10 heads, having heard of Sita's beauty, kidnapped her to marry him instead. When Rama found his wife Sita gone, he set off toward Lanka, the island which is now called Sri Lanka. On the way to Lanka, he met Hanuman of the Monkey Kingdom. On hearing Rama's sad tale, the monkey god Hanuman pledged his aid. They raised an army of monkeys and marched onto Lanka unafraid. They finally reached Lanka and fought such a fearsome war. People say that such a great battle had never been fought before. Rama and the demon Ravana came face to face. Their fighting was fierce and heated, but finally Rama emerged victorious. The evil demon Ravana was defeated. Rama was united with his wife Sita. They were together at last. And conveniently, it was also time to return to Ayodhya, since 14 years exactly had passed. And so with the three on his back, the mighty monkey king Hanuman flew to the city of Ayodhya that very night. And as they came nearer to the city, they were guided by thousands of lights. You see, the citizens of Ayodhya had not forgotten that 14 years were over that day. So people had lit lamps across the city so that they could show their beloved Rama the way. So every year on Diwali, we remember the homecoming of Rama by lighting the deepas, the lamps, and the candles. We celebrate good's victory over evil and Rama's crowning as the king of Ayodhya. So that's our story this morning about the Hindu story of Diwali. And now I invite forward Reverend Tom to share some words as our children and youth go off to their religious education classes.
As you know, we light a lantern, as people do all over India on Diwali. We light a lantern to show our children the way to religious education.
Words from the Sikh evening prayer, Kirtan Sohila. What a beautiful lamplit worship service this is. O God, destroyer of fear, this is your ceremony of light. Amongst all beings is the light. You, God, are that light. By this illumination, the light is radiant within all. Through God's teachings, the light shines forth.
Silent, I see night, near our heart.
next musical selection is a hymn, also from the sixth scripture. And the refrain of this hymn says, Raj Lila Tere Naam Banai, Jog Baniya Tera Kirtan Gai. And the meaning of these words is, everything we see is the beautiful play of God. I attain union with God singing the kirtan, the songs of God's praises.
Raj Lila Tere Naam Banai Raj Lila Tere Naam Banai Jog Baniya Tera Kirtan Gai baniya tera kirtan gai raj lila sarab sukha Rajalila tere naam banai Rajalila tere naam banai Jog baniya tera kirtan gai baniya tera kirtan gai raj lila jin tu chahta so krist Dasi parvana Chim tu jatha sogrista Dasi parvana Namarata Soi nirvane Namarata Nirvane Raj Lila Tere Naam Banai Raj Lila Tere Naam Banai Jog Baniya Tera kirtan gai jog baniya tera kirtan gai raj lila
Chako mili
jana bane tenare kanta ka pura ka jana raj lila tere naam banai raj lila jog baneya tera kirtan gaai jog baneya tera kirtan gaai raj lila tere naam banai raj Raj Lila, Raj Lila, Tere Naam Banai.
As Unitarian Universalist, we welcome insights from many religious traditions. We're careful not to usurp that tradition, the traditions of others, but instead we try to learn about other traditions and find what teachings there might be in them for us. So often we find that many of the world's religions share common truths. They may tell the story in very different ways, but the message is very similar. As our children study world religions, we often ask them, how does this connect to our Unitarian Universalist faith? What is similar? How might our faith be enriched by these stories and holidays and lessons from other faiths and other cultures? Last week we celebrated All Souls Day in a style of the Mexican celebration of the Day of the Dead. Today we embrace a religious holiday very different from most of our Western holidays, yet with many messages that resonate with the principles and teachings of our faith tradition. Eileen, first, thank you for the children's story about Diwali. It's a lot to take in, so I think it might be good if you took just a couple of minutes to kind of recap it for us, maybe slower adults.
Absolutely, Tom. So I hope that we all enjoyed that Diwali story. I know I did, and the beautiful illustrations. But if you missed it, or like Tom said, if you just need a refresher, here's a brief reminder. So Lord Rama, he's an incarnation of the Hindu god Vishnu. Vishnu is the sustainer of the universe. He's a very important Hindu god. And so this is a myth about the life of Rama. That's where the Diwali story comes from. So Rama lives in the North Indian city called Ayodhya with his father, who is a king, and his two brothers. They're actually his half-brothers. And so in his youth, the prince Rama is in line for the throne as his father is getting old and he's the eldest of the three brothers. But Rama's brother wants to be king too. And so he and his wicked stepmother, they banish Rama to the forest for 14 years, along with Rama's wife Sita and his brother Lakshman. So they live in the forest for many years, eating fruits and seeds in peace. But then the evil demon Ravana finds out where they are. And Rama's wife, Sita, is very beautiful. And Ravana plays a trick on Rama and kidnaps his wife. The demon Ravana takes Sita to an island far, far away, the modern-day country of Sri Lanka. And Rama and his brother wander in the forest trying to find her. They look and look, but cannot locate Sita. They do, however, because this is a Hindu myth, stumble upon the monkey god, Lord Hanuman. And the monkey god Hanuman is excited, so excited to meet Lord Rama, because Hanuman is a fervent worshiper of Rama. And when Rama tells the monkey god what has happened to his wife, the monkey god springs into action. And again, because we're talking about Hinduism, the monkey can fly. He has special powers called siddhis that allow him to fly. And so he flies all across India searching for Lord Rama's wife Sita until he finds her and the demon king Ravana in Sri Lanka. So after a great and terrible battle, the monkey god Hanuman slays the demon and rescues Sita, bringing her back to her husband. All across the land of India, people rejoice because Rama and his wife have been reunited, and the time of their banishment is over since, conveniently, the 14-year term of their banishment by Rama's brother just ran out. So they all return home to Ayodhya, where Rama is crowned king, and basically, as the story goes, everyone lives happily ever after. Now, there are many variations to this story because Hinduism is a very multifaceted religion. And people of other faiths across India and across the world celebrate Diwali as well with different meanings. But all of these celebrations symbolize the victory of light over darkness, the victory of good over evil, and the victory of hope over despair. It is one of the most significant Hindu holidays and is celebrated all over India and in many other countries, including our own.
Thank you, Eileen. You know, I think of so many things in our faith tradition that celebrate the same thing, the triumph of hope over despair, of good over evil. And often those holidays, like Diwali, use light as a symbol. You know, just in the next few weeks, we'll celebrate Advent and Hanukkah and the winter solstice. And all of these holidays do exactly that. In our worship, we light candles for many reasons. Of course, there's our chalice and our joys and concern candles. But also think about the candles of our Advent wreath or our Hanukkah menorah or the candles that we each hold on Christmas Eve as we sing Silent Night. Eileen, can you tell us about the Diwali tradition of lighting candles?
Well, I think that the tradition of lighting candles on Diwali has a beautiful meaning. And it's also intrinsically linked to the holiday because in Hindi, the word Diwali comes from two words, Deepa, which means light, and Avali, which means row. And so on Diwali, people light these small clay lamps called Deepas and display them in rows inside and outside of their homes and temples. And as we read in our book, these lights are meant to illuminate the path for Lord Rama as he's finding his way home with his wife. And I think that this custom has such a special and such a profound message because even a god, even a powerful deity, even a powerful deity like Lord Rama, sometimes he needs help finding his way home. The glowing lamps, candles, and lights symbolize the victory of good over evil, with Rama defeating the demon king. They celebrate the victory of light over darkness, as righteousness prevails during a time of turbulence. And the lamps celebrate, too, the victory of hope over despair. For even as Lord Rama was banished, forced to live in the forest and forage for his food, devastated by being separated from his wife, now he finds relief and joy in being reunited with Sita and being crowned king. All across cities and towns in India, you can see lamps, strings of lights, candles, colorful decorations, and patterns called Rangoli, drawn with colored powders on the ground during the celebration of Diwali. And this happens here in America too. The Sikh temple that we attend in Everett, Massachusetts, is already bedazzled with lights. And I'm sure that worshipers today are lighting hundreds of candles in their own worship service at the Sikh temple. I think it's special, too, that Diwali is situated during a time of year in which the days are getting shorter, darker, and colder, even in India. So it's situated at this time of year, but it reminds us that even during times of darkness, that yes, there is light, good, and hope do prevail, even if we have to wait 14 years in the forest for them to come.
I'm fascinated in listening to you by the idea that people of different faiths observe Diwali. You know, in our own tradition, we offer the opportunity for people to participate in the observance of religious holidays that may not be their own. I think of our Passover Seder or our celebration of the Lunar New Year as examples of two holidays that I didn't grow up with, but have become meaningful for me in my ministry. So I'd like it if you could talk about how Diwali is observed by other faiths, particularly Sikhs, as I know you have a personal connection to that tradition.
So I think that most of the people in these pews today might not know about my rather complex interfaith background. I grew up in the UU church to an agnostic mother of a Jewish background and an atheist father of a Christian background. Then in college, I learned about the Sikh or Sikh religion, which is a tradition from North India, and I found myself captivated and began attending services in a Sikh temple while also attending church. I have identified as a UU Sikh for the past 7 years, and it's a big part of my life, observing a lot of customs like keeping uncut hair, eating a vegetarian diet, abstaining from alcohol, tobacco, and drugs, and as you saw, playing Sikh devotional music, which comes from scripture. Now, Sikhism is not a sect of Hinduism, as many people think. It's its own separate religious tradition. But Sikhs share many holidays with their Hindu neighbors in India, and Diwali is one of those holidays. The Hindu holiday of Diwali shares a beautiful holiday that's celebrated by Sikhs. It's called Bandi Chor Diwas. That's a long name. But this holiday celebrates the release of prisoners from jail. There were 10 Sikh gurus who were humans who began the Sikh religion, and the sixth guru, Guru Hargobind, was imprisoned because at this time that Sikhism was coming about 500 years ago in India, there was a lot of clashing between Hindus and Muslims, and at the time the Mughals were ruling North India, and they were Muslim. And they told their neighbors that if you don't become Muslim, you'll go to jail. And so the Mughal emperor at the time, his name was Jahangir, he jailed the Sikh guru Hargobind because he would not convert to Islam. And he kept protecting the rights of other people to maintain their religion. And he was in prison for a long time. Meanwhile, the religious community of Sikhs was agitating for his release. And finally, the Emperor Jahangir relented and agreed to release the guru from prison. And what's special about this story is that the guru said, "I will not leave by myself." He had been jailed with 52 other prisoners who were all of a different religion than him. They were all Hindu. And he said, "I will not go if they have to stay." And so he asked his followers to make him a special cloak with 52 hems, so really roughly. And he asked for this cloak so that when he left the prison, every prisoner could hold onto one hem of his cloak so that they were all freed. And I think this has such an important message for us, that we as people of faith are called to light the path for those in need, just like Guru Hargobind freed the Hindu prisoners. We are called to serve others, just like the monkey god Hanuman put his life on the line to rescue Rama's wife. And this is such a beautiful meaning of this holiday.
Lovely thoughts. Some of the ideas remind me of our forebears, like William Ellery Channing, things they spoke of. They preached about the divine light in every person. They would say that they knew God by seeing God in you. In our Unitarian Universalist tradition, we also certainly believe that we can be the light for others to find their way. I think I see that, as you mentioned, in the Diwali story as well. So could you tell us what you think the main lessons of Diwali are for us?
Well, I think the story has so much to teach us. And when I reflect on what is most important about this story, I go back to my favorite character, the monkey god, Lord Hanuman. And not only do I think monkeys are cute, and that's why I like him, but I think that he has a wonderful role in this story. As I said, he put his life on the line to serve others, in this case to serve God in an incarnation of Lord Rama. So it can be a little confusing for those of us who don't study or practice Hinduism, but what makes this story even more special is that these are all gods. Hanuman, Sita, and Rama, they're all gods, but Rama is above Hanuman in the hierarchy of deities. He's an incarnation of one of the three most important deities in Hinduism. He's an incarnation of Lord Vishnu. And so for this reason, he's heavily worshipped. And I am so pulled to the monkey god Hanuman because even though he himself is divine, he himself is a god, he is described as being the most humble, the most reverent, the most devoted to Lord Rama. There's a prayer called Hanuman Chalisa, which talks about all of the virtues of Hanuman. And he is described as being the perfect servant of Lord Rama. He was literally willing to go to the ends of the earth, at that time the tip of India, to serve his beloved friend and God. In many depictions of these deities, we can see Rama and Sita standing next to each other, with Hanuman kneeling in prayer in front of them. But probably the most common image we see of the god Hanuman is the one where he is depicted standing with his hands clawing at his chest, ripping his heart open. And we can see that inside of his chest, there's a tiny image of Lord Ram and Sita. He has enshrined Lord Rama in his heart, just as a statue is enshrined in a temple. And I think this is such a beautiful reminder to us all that we must keep our hearts open, that we must treat our hearts as temples, that the divine should be so present and so real to us that we can feel it always deep within the heart. And so I keep an icon of Lord Hanuman next to the mirror in my bathroom so that I can see it every morning when I look at my own face as a reminder to be a servant of God and a reminder to keep the divine always near at heart. So when I think about the story of Diwali, practically I think that the story of the monkey god Hanuman flying to rescue Rama's wife is a reminder that even deities need help sometimes. So obviously, we as mere humans should not be so hesitant to ask for help. That's a problem for some of us, especially for me, asking for help. I think Diwali also teaches us that sometimes even deities get lost and need a little help finding the path, which is why the lamps were lit by the people all over India to light the path home for Lord Rama. And for us, this means sometimes we feel lost and we need a guide, and that's okay, because entities with far greater power than ours have gone through that struggle too. I think the Diwali story and the Sikh story of Guru Hargobind in prison remind us that we are called as a people of faith to see the divine in every person we meet and to honor that divine spark that is present in all beings. The Guru did not leave the 52 Hindu prisoners behind because he saw the inherent worth and dignity in them, and he could not turn away from it. So these stories help us to remember our place in the interdependent web of all life, which contains beings whose lives are very different from our own, but yet we are still connected. And ultimately, I think that this story of Diwali reminds us of the spark of the divine in our own hearts, not just in the hearts of others. And that if we were each to open up our chests like the monkey god Hanuman in that famous icon, that's what would be inside, the divine flame, the inner light. And sometimes we need help keeping that light burning brightly during the hard times, but it's always there. So that's what's so meaningful for me about Diwali. It's a reminder of all of those things. And conveniently, it's also a physical manifestation of light and beauty during this time of year in which each day is getting darker and colder. So it's nice to get a reminder. The glowing lamps and candles in the Hindu temple, the chalice in the Unitarian church, a reminder that there is an inner light that never goes out, that sustains us through the dark times. May it be so.
Thank you, Eileen, for really enriching and expanding our understanding of yet another holiday of light, and for sharing the particular light of Diwali with us this morning. It is with joy that we as Unitarian Universalists claim the growing light, the widening view, the understanding that from ancient myth and wisdom and tradition comes the new.
Words from the ninth Sikh Guru, Guru Tegh Bahadur. Why do you go to the forest in search of the divine?
God lives in all and abides with you too.
As fragrance dwells in a flower or a reflection in a mirror, so the divine dwells inside everything. Seek therefore in your own heart.
Our final hymn or Shabad today has the refrain line, Nanak chinta mat karo, chinta tisahi hai. Don't worry, the Lord will take care of you. Ek Omkar Sat Naam Karta Purakh Nirbhau Nirvay Akala Murat Arjuni Sebang Gur Parsad. Nanak chinta mat karo, chinta tisahi hai. Nanak chinta mat karo, chinta tisahi hai.
Guru, Vahe Guru, Vahe Guru. Nanak chinta mat karo, chinta tisahi hai. Nanak chinta mat karo, chinta tisahi hai. Chinta te sahi hai. Chinta te sahi hai.